someone had the idea to schedule a Bitochen boot camp. I don't really know what boot camp is, but what it was an intense series of 8 talks throughout the Shabbos on issues of Bitochen. Different aspects, different... just for an example, the Shabbos experience, a unique source of Bitochen. Second one, life-altering benefits of Bitochen. The next one was the path from miracles to Bitochen. The next one's belief versus knowledge in the quest for Bitochen. The next was, let's develop Bitochen together. Bitochen and health. Bitochen grows in the valley. That was an interesting thing. That's how we started there many years ago. And Bitochen and Parnosa. That was the total thing. So I thought it would be a good idea to try to do some of these. I don't know how much of it we'll accomplish, but maybe over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, we'll try to get it done. I think it's all... It's hitting it from different sides, and it's all part of a process of really trying to strengthen and develop and expand our own bitochen. So that's basically what I want to do. So the first piece of it is the Shabbos experience, a unique source of bitochen. Shabbos really can be viewed as a workshop in the development of bitochen on a very simple level. Today it's a little bit easier because the work week is not necessarily include Shabbos for many people, but in the olden days when it was, really the businesses, the stores, the push carts, it was really an Asoyan. And the person who can close his business and, still realize that he's going to survive is really doing an action, an act of an exercise in bitochen,
like Shemitah.
Trusting Hashem. What? Yeah,
Shemitah,
the same idea. That's right. So, but it really goes, I think, it's on a much deeper level, and I want to like share that a little bit, and I think it begins with the fact, that Shabbos is a day where we testify to creation. So there's a creator who created the world. And Shabbos also reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which allows us to know that Lo Ozav Hashem Es Ha'oretz is one of the things the Ramban says, that people used to think, oh, maybe Hashem created the world, but he left. No, he's still actively involved on a detailed and intimate level with everything that happens in our lives. If that's the case, so if there's a creator and there's a controller and he's involved, so already, it's already easier to say, hey, at least I have someone to trust, If I ponder it a little deeper and I think about why he created the world, and he only created the world to do chesed, so hey, he created the world to do chesed. He doesn't need me. I'm there because he wants to do chesed. So it's easier for me to start to begin to rely, to think, hey, he's going to do chesed. That's the beginnings of the bitochen. But it really goes a step, an exercise much deeper. And that is because Shabbos, I can't do anything about anything. My world is complete. The Sipunu defines the menucha of Shabbos, uvishleimus tihiyah menucha. It's completedness that creates menucha. A person whose work is not complete can't really have menucha. How many people go on vacations and they're still, in touch with their office and every detail and everything? A friend of mine used to go on vacation. I don't know if he still does. He sits on the beach. He has a private beach, and he has his cell phone. He used to have a portable fax attached. I don't know. Today, I guess they don't use those anymore. And he's in touch with the office the whole week of vacation. Shkoyach. What a vacation, Vacation, menucha means rest, means shleimus. Everything's finished. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to worry. That's the way Hashem existed when it came Shabbos, because his world was complete. And that's the way we live on Shabbos. My world is complete. Everything has to be done is done. Anything I need has to have been taken care of already. So if I live in a state of completedness, I'm beginning to recognize that, hey, it's all done. It's all taken care of. I don't have anything to worry about. And I like to, when I discuss this, I always give 3 examples. One is about the rabbi who used to borrow from his president $10,000 Erev Shabbos in return of Motzei Shabbos. And there went on for months, and finally the president says, "You got no problem with this deal, you always give the money back, but what does a rabbi do with $10,000? He says, "You have no idea how much better the drosha comes out with $10,000 in the bank." You know, when everything is done, it's a whole different world. I tell this story when I purchased the building here on Columbia Avenue. So I walk into my house Friday night, the week before the closing, and I said, "I'm still short $150,000. I told my family. But I said, "But don't worry, because Shabbos, the money's in the bank. The problem is it goes out when you make Havdolah." So I decided to make the closing on Monday. I'll do Havdolah after, you know, b'di'evet. Anyway, I didn't do that. And Baruch Hashem, the last second, a minute before I had to go for the closing, somebody brought in the check, whatever. But I'm just saying, but that's this idea. And then, of course, the third idea, which is really the most descriptive and the most powerful, I may have told that story here, is this story... of this, some German poet wrote this story in a poem about the Sabbath, I think it was called. So he says this Polish landowner was a nice guy, and he used to visit his tenants. One Friday night, he comes upon this Jewish tenant sitting around the table, the whole family, they're singing smiras, they're talking to each other. Such a beautiful atmosphere, and he sees the peace of mind and the tranquility and the love and the warmth. It was very taken. But then he looks around, he sees it leaking in from all over the place, and the tablecloth patched, and the clothing tattered and frayed, and the food sparse. And he's so taken by this contrast. He goes over to the Baal Bos and he says, "One wish, anything in the world you want, it's yours." Could have given him money, could have given him a new apartment, a new house, or anything, a new job. He says, "Could you be so kind? The candle is bent over and it's dripping out fast, and it's going to go out fast, and we won't be able to enjoy the Shabbos. Please straighten out the candle." Now, whatever the author meant, but he couldn't, this Jew, his world on Shabbos was so complete. He had everything he needed. He couldn't relate to the question of, "Was fehlt euch, Rabid? What are you lacking? What are you lacking?" He couldn't answer that question. He said, only he needed a Shabbos goy. And even that he shouldn't have needed, but that's, he didn't know that. I mean, the author didn't know that. But that's all. My world is so complete. I have everything. There's nothing I could do. And Hashem is the creator. I rely on him. And I can't do anything about anything anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, I cannot have such a menuchas and nefesh that I can't relate to the question of, what am I lacking? Point number two. One more point, okay? And that is, Shabbos is a sign between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really very interesting, because right after that we say, whatever. He says, "I don't understand. We didn't give it to the nations of the world. Didn't give the other mitzvahs to the nations of the world either. What's going on with you? He didn't give Shabbos. There's this portion. The other mitzvahs, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, they're shaykh to us. The goyim have no shaykhs to it. We were taken out of Mitzrayim. We sat in the Sukkah. We sat in the Anan Yaakovit. We received the Torah Har Sinai. But Briyas HaOlam is shaykh to the whole creation. So really, if we're celebrating creation, the whole world should join in the celebration. No, it's Beini Ubein Bnei Yisrael Ois Hi LeOlam. It's a special sign of our special relation. Rashi's Loshon is, Shabbos is Ois Gedoylo Shebocharti Bochem, Bahanchili Lochem Mesyoy Menuchosi LeMenucha. It's a great sign that I chose you when I give you my day of Menucha for Menucha. In other words, it's an exclusive anniversary celebration that only the Klal Yisrael was invited to. That adds another dimension to the Shabbos, a dimension of love, a dimension of privilege. Hashem, not only is he the creator who takes care of everything, and not only are we not allowed to do anything, we have to live in a state of total completeness, I can't do anything about it anyway, and therefore I have to be relaxed. But do you know who's behind all of this? We have this special relationship where only we have been invited to celebrate the anniversary to the exclusion of everyone else. That's Takad Pshat and Vishamru. Not like some of the translators translate. It's not a it's not the ois kisheshes yomim. Some say that, but it's the ois that of our special relationship, as Rashi says, because sheshes yomim ve'yomashir shalas ve'nofash, and you gave it to us to celebrate. That's the ois. In other words, sheshes yom os Hashem is what's so special about it. We're celebrating creation. And it's the ois beinenu is that he only invited us to celebrate it, and that's mashma for the satu l'goya rotzis. Anyway, so when you take all these factors together, you can really have a sense of like Shabbos is a trial run, is a test run. It's an experience. It's a living in a bitochen, in a forced bitochen state, but it prepares us. The Kuzri says that the neshama is nourished from Shabbos to the next Shabbos. And that may be part of the nourishment, that we live in this state of connection to Hashem. We live in this state of not having to worry about anything. And that's a dogma for all of the, for the bitochen that we could develop. Okay, that's one point. Let's discuss a little bit the life-altering benefits of bitochen. First of all, and we've done this, but I think it's important for the presentation. That is, there has to be a clarity of distinction between emunah and bitochen. Everybody says emunah bitochen, but like, what exactly are we talking about? Emunah can best be defined, I believe, as all of the knowledge, intellectual knowledge, that we have of Hashem. He created the world. He's in total control. He's all-powerful. He's created the world only for chesed. He's all full of chesed and rachamim and all of these midas trumayus and the midas tevas that he wants to be meitiv. And he pays attention to the smallest details, all of the things that the Ramban and Parshas Boy delineates. This is all part of our emunah. What is the bitochen? Bitochen is taking all of that knowledge and internalizing it emotionally to the extent that now I can rely for my life situations and needs and desires and issues and challenges and problems, I can rely on him that he's going to resolve it. Because of the fact that he is the Koil Yochol and the Adon HaKoil and the ultimate Meitiv and he's the Mashgiach be proteus on every detail of our lives, that inspires me to be able to rely on him. Now, we've pointed out here many times that bitochen is not a rational thing, because rationally, a person doesn't know, maybe I'm not worthy, but it's an emotion. I may not be worthy, but I just know all of the good about him, and he knows how much this means to me. Just something just tells me that he's not going to let me down. And I even know in the background that it says, even though I'm afraid maybe I'm not worthy, but it does say, Rabbi Machovim LaRosha Vavatech Bashem Chesi Sovavenu, that a Rosha suffers a lot, but one, the Rosha who trusts Hashem, Chesed will surround him, meaning even a Rosh Chazal say, Ubetech Vashem Chesed Sovenu. So the fact that I'm not worthy doesn't have to interfere with the bitochen, because Hashem can grant me and does grant me even beyond what I deserve. And since Hashem does grant people beyond what they deserve, so I'm beginning to, I'm counting, I'm relying, I just, something announces to me. Now it manifests itself in two levels. One level is that I refuse to give up hope. I may not be on the level where I could be sure of what's going to happen, but I sure ain't giving up hope. Afilu cherev chodom nuachal savorv shalodom al yimna os atzma min harachamim. I'm not going to hold back the idea of Hashem's rachamim, even if the sword is at the back of my neck. And I Yeshua Hashem kerefayin. The Yeshua can come in a split second, so what am I, just because it seems, but it's almost there, it's almost the end is near. Yeah, the end is not, it's not over till it's over. Yeshua Hashem Kerefayim. I think that there's something else that has to be mentioned over here. Well, let's talk about Let's one more step before we talk about the life-altering benefits. One more step is the thing that we have mentioned here many times from the Chofetz Chaim, and that is kifi goydel habitochin kach goydel ha'atzlocha. According to the magnitude of the bitochin, that's the magnitude of the hatzlocha. Meaning, it's not all or nothing. This is a fact, I think, on the Shabbos, this was the only thing that I repeated again and again, because it's critical. It's not all or nothing. Because I can't see myself reaching this 100% surety, or this unshakable sense of I'm not giving up, that does not mean that I can't be zeicher to the benefits of bitochon. Because kifi goydel, kefi goel habitochon, kach goel hatzlocha, is commensurate. If I reached halfway with my bitochon, then I will have that much hashbo with my in the hatzlocha. It isn't all or nothing. That's very important. Because if bitochon was all or nothing game, we'd all give up. No question about it. Because 100%, 100% sure, I refuse to ever, I'm never going to hesitate, I'm never going to give up, I'm never going to be meyayish. So anyway, that's important. Now, one of the major life-altering benefit of bitochon, at least one of them to discuss at this point, is the reduction of stress. Stress is clearly, by all accounts, the number one killer in the world. It's involved in more diseases. It's involved in so many mental health issues. It's involved in all the suicides, kimat. It's involved in everything, and stress is the killer. Bitochon, by definition, is the absence of stress. On the Rashi in Parshas Bahar, when it says uvishavtem al oretz levetach, uvishavtem levetach al oretz, Rashi says over there levetach. You won't worry. It's the absence of worry. This in itself is such an amazing koyach, because stress is the worst thing. The worst thing is that stress. It kills us. It literally kills. And here, when Baal Bitochon, there's nothing to worry about. Hashem controls everything, and Hashem is so benevolent and so kind and so loving and so... Now, of course, it's very easy to talk and it's not real. And if it's not real, then it's not going to reduce stress. And when a person sees that the stress level hasn't gone down, then that's really a sign that the bitochon level hasn't gone up, because they are interrelated. But at least it's some benefit. It should motivate, because if I could reduce the stress of life, like, what more could I ask for? Like, that's like, because if a person can handle stress, then even the difficulties of life become, even the challenges, even the serious challenges, take a much less of a toll on the person, because he can handle the stress. So that's really the a main benefit. Now, besides that benefit, there's something else which is very... obvious, we've just been saying it without saying it. And that is the ability to get and to achieve and to receive the things that I want in life. And this is a major benefit, because much of the stress in life is caused by the fact that I'm not receiving what I want. So, of course, if you have bitochon that you're going to receive it, that already reduces the stress. And then the fact that I receive it, and the bitochon is a koyach to receive the things that I want out of life. It can take me out of difficulty, it can take away challenges, and it can entitle me to get things that otherwise I never would have gotten. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter even said it applies to luxury as well. That's the famous story, I'm sure we've quoted here, between the Rashash and Rabbi Yisrael. That Rabbi Yisrael told the Rashash that if you have 100% bitochon, even on luxury, you're going to get it. And Rashash disagrees, says, luxuries, it doesn't work. Necessities, not luxuries. So Rabbi Yisrael said, I have a bitochon, I'm going to get a gold watch. He's going to show it to him. There's a storm, And there's a captain at sea, and the captain gets up on the deck and says to Hashem, he says, if the storm, we survive the storm, then I'm going to take my gold watch and give it to the rabbi in the first port that we dock. And they survive the storm. The storm stopped. He pulls in, and he looks for the rabbi. He finds the Rashash, and he says, here, I have a gold watch for you. So the Rashash looks at him and says, belongs to Reb Yisrael Salanta. Go give it to him. So even Reb Yisrael held even by luxury that this works. So this is extremely important because we have a means to achieve the things that we need, the things that we want, and to protect us. The Gemara by Hillel HaZoken says, if there's a fire burning already, you can't say it shouldn't be my house. You see, there's a fire burning. But Hillel would walk into a city and say, he'd hear the fire burning, a coiled svocha, but tu achani shein zebavzach besi. And the Gemara justified that with a posik mishmor lo yira, that a person can have bitochen, and that bitochen can save him from all kinds of tzoras, can grant him all kinds of yeshuas and all kinds of brochas and all kinds of luxuries. So it's a tremendous koyach which literally can alter the situations of my life. So that's in terms of the benefits. Ooh. Okay. Next topic here is the path from miracles to bitochen. Now, our recognition of the miracles of life stem from Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, we saw Nisim Gluyim. And the Ramban says, from the Nisim Gluyim, we come to recognize the hidden miracles, the Hashkocha Protis, the things that one might mistakenly interpret as accident, natural coincidence, luck, fate, all these other words that you could use for them. But they're hidden miracles. They're not blatantly obvious, but they're quite a subtle indication of Hashem's Hashgocha in the world. And that's the stepping stone to the recognition of Hashem's positive involvement in every aspect of our lives, the miracles that take place, and therefore the ability to have bitochen, because oftentimes bitochen is fighting reality. But look at the chances, the statistics, the doctor, the stock market, the unemployment, the this, the that, the who knows what. Yeah, that's all very nice. But Hashem controls everything. We saw in Mitzrayim not only national miracles, we saw individual miracles. If the Jew and the Mitzri were drinking from this same cup, the Jew could be drinking water or tea, and the Mitzri could be drinking blood. Same cup, no tricks, nothing. The Jew and the Mitzri could stand in the same room, and he could be frozen and dark, and he could be seeing broad daylight. There's a medrash that says that if a Jew and a Mitzri were partners in a tree, and if the partnership was top and bottom, so the Arbe would, if the Mitzri owned the branches, or the branches, so the branches would be devoured, and the trunk and the roots would remain. If the Jew owned the roots, if the Mitzri owned the roots, then the roots would be devoured, and the tree and the trunk and the tree would just remain hanging in animated suspension. So that's it. We saw not just global national miracles, but individual miracles for each individual person. So from that, we extrapolate and we say, hey, look, Hashem gets involved. Look, Hashem was involved. Look what he did. Look what he did here. Look what he did there. Look what he does. And then maybe that gives us the beginning of the ability to recognize how much he's involved in our lives. And that can strengthen our bitochen. Well, that could give us the basis for bitochen. But it really goes a step further. And this parsha happens to be in Parshas Vayera. We have the Dal L'Shene Shel Gula. The four Lashonos of Gula. And the Sipurnu says that that each lashon represents a different stage of the redemption. Veitzesi refers to the Havsukas Hashibu, they stopped working on Rosh Hashanah. Veitzalti refers to the fact that we left Mitzrayim. Veigualti refers to the fact that our oppressors were drowning in front of us, so we felt geula, we felt redeemed, because the enemy is gone. Avlokachti is my Har Sinai. On these four lashonos of geula, we take four koises at the Seder, right? Veitzesi, Veitzalti, Veigualti, Avlokachti, the Arba koises get it. It's not Arba Keneged Arba and Arba Bonim and Arba Manishtanu and this. No. It's portion. We lift the Kais Shal Barucha on each one to focus on every aspect of the Geula and the Nisim individually. If we lump it together, then we can't appreciate it. Without focus, it doesn't mean anything. I say Kais Shal Barucha. Take a kosher bracha, just only for the fact that we stopped working. Vihitzalti, just the fact that we walked out. Vigoalti, just the fact that he finally took them and drowned them in the sea. Velokachli took us to Sinai. Unless we break it down to its component parts and focus on the Chesed Hashem involved, then Chesed Hashem becomes a word. Becomes lip service, is not a reality. It only becomes reality with focus. So the lesson from here is that if we wish the miracles to lead us to bitochon, we have to focus on it. When things happen, personal hashkocha protis. So it's not enough just, oh, it happened, very good. Pay attention to it. Look at it. Dissect it. Realize the magnitude of the chesed. Do you know about this nekuda and that nuance and another thing? And also, and it just so happens, sometimes you even get bored, people tell you the story with all the details, it's too much. But the details bring it alive and make it, that's where the strength for bitochen comes from, because I see the hashkocha. And that's very important in everything. Focus is the name of the game. If we don't focus on the details, individually and separately, that we miss the real hashgacha that's involved, and memela, we lose the opportunity to really build from that bitochem. So there's one more thing that I think is very very important also, that our recognition of what happened in Mitzrayim is passed down through eyewitness testimony from generation to generation. It isn't as if we have to rely on some type of Hashkochas Hashem that we figured out that that's what must have happened in Mitzrayim. The vaguer, the less sure it is, the less power it has to give me that bitochen. But the Yetzias Mitzrayim, with the Nisim that took place, with the Kriyas Yamsuf, were all testified to by that generation. There were millions of eyewitnesses. They recorded it in the Torah in a document that says that they saw it themselves, not that they heard it from someone else. They didn't say these things happened. They say we saw Hishomeloch Pentishkach Hesadvorim Zechor Al Tishkach. And so forth, you saw with your own eyes, and they pass this on to their children, which means there's a living document of eyewitness testimony that's alive and well today, that hasn't been changed over thousands of years. When the Teimanim came to Eretz Yisrael, they brought Kimat the same Sefer Torah with one dalet or hey change. It's mind-boggling. The Edus, it's live Edus, and it's from millions of fathers to sons, mothers to daughters, passed down from generation to generation, and not only as a folklore, but as a text, and not only as a text, but as a lifestyle that was based on the text, because we live this too. We put on tefillin, zechot tzitzis Yisrael, and tzitzis zechot tzitzis Yisrael, and Shabbos zechot tzitzis Yisrael, and Yotam zechot tzitzis Yisrael, and Bris zechot tzitzis Yisrael, Pidyon, Bris, and Pidyon HaBen zechot tzitzis Mitzrayim, and so much that's done, all to give us that sense of the reality of it. So when the Nisim of our past were a reality, that helps the Bitochen of the present to be a reality as well. Maybe I'll just do one more piece over here, which I think is also very significant, and then we'll hopefully finish it up next time. The next topic was belief versus knowledge in the quest for bitochen. So I think it's very important. If you want to have bitochen, bitochen is the internalization of the emuna. Okay? If the emuna is shaky, the bitochen is going to be devastated. If I have to make a leap of faith to believe that Hashem created the world, controlled the world, wants us to do this, gave us the Torah, whatever it is. So upon a leap of faith, I'm going to be able to build the confidence that He will deliver for me. I have enough trouble when it's not a leap of faith to build it. So it's very critical to realize that leap of faith, we had a discussion here not too long ago, is not a Jewish concept. The leap of faith plays no roles. It's knowledge. We have knowledge. Knowledge is defined as beyond any reasonable doubt, beyond, as much, you could say, as much as sure as you are, as your mother is your mother. People have been changed in the hospital, it's happened. But it's beyond any reasonable, as sure as you are that you're eating and drinking here, without any fear of poison or anything else. With all due respect, it's only beyond reasonable doubt. That's all. So beyond reasonable doubt, our Torah Misinai is very, very critical, that it has to be beyond reasonable doubt. Now, it is beyond reasonable doubt, and it's not based on faith. In fact, it's a pele on all the Umos HaOlam. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, in the previous parsha, taught us that a leap of faith is not credible. What did he say? When Hashem first appeared to Moshe, and he told him to go and tell Bnei Yisrael, I appear to you and I'm taking you out. He said, "Dehein lo yaminu li." They're not going to believe me. Why should they believe me? I had a private revelation. Mitamo, all of a sudden I come, had a private revelation. Nobody believes private revelations. You could maybe get a friend to believe, and he'll tell another friend. Eventually, in 100, 200, 300 years, you might put together a couple of people, a coalition. But it's not credible. It is not really credible. One person is not enough for such an earth-shattering message. But Klal Yisrael has Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim of Mitzrayim, millions of eyewitnesses to the Kriyas Yam. So millions of eyewitnesses who went right through the Yam Suf. This is the basis for our emuna, and therefore this is the this is a stepping stone or a base that we can now build bitochen. Because we're not building it on a flimsy foundation. We're not building it on a leap of faith. We're building it on knowledge, eyewitness knowledge that's been passed down accurately from one generation to the next to this very day. That having been said, that being the case, we now have what to build our bitochen on, because we have a situation of knowledge of Yetzias Mitzrayim, knowledge of Hashem's Hashkoch in the world, knowledge of Maimon Har Sinai, knowledge that Hashem continues to take care of the Klal Yisrael as He says He will in the Torah, L'Yisishochach Mipizaroi, and that the Klal Yisrael will continue to exist, and the Torah will continue to exist. That makes the process of achieving bitochen that much easier, because it's based on reality rather than faith. Okay, maybe we'll stop here and Be'ez Hashem continue next time.